Alrighty, if you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, please join me in Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, if you're just joining us this morning, we've been working our way through this wonderful book these past few weeks, and we're going to continue to do that throughout the summer and on into the fall. We're going to be looking at verse 7 and also verses 12 through 29 this morning. In the passage of Scripture that we're going to look at today, we see a cast of characters in one of the most dramatic stories in all of the Bible. In this story that we're looking at today, we see incest. We see adultery. We see the calling out of sin. We see bitterness happen. We see a deep grudge, a wild birthday, erotic dancing, and we also see murder. And this sounds like a modern-day soap opera, and yet all of this is in the Word of God. Mark chapter 6, look at verse 7. It says, "And he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits." So Jesus sends out the disciples. He sends out the apostles on a mission trip. Pick it up in verse 12. It says, "So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them." So Jesus sent out his disciples on a mission trip. And then we pick it up in verse 14. It says this, "And King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some said, 'John the Baptist has been raised from the dead.' This is why these miraculous powers are at work in him." Verse 15, "But others said, 'Oh, he's Elijah.' And others said, 'He's a prophet like one of the prophets of old.' But when Herod heard of it, he said, 'John, whom I beheaded, has been raised.'" Verse 17, "For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, 'It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife.'" Verse 19, "And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly." Verse 21, "But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his nobles and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. For when Herodias' daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, 'Ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it to you.' And he vowed to her, 'Whatever you ask me, I will give you up to half of my kingdom.' And he went out, and she went out and said to her mother, 'For what should I ask? And she said, 'The head of John the Baptist.'" Verse 25, "And she came in immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, 'I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter.' And the king was exceedingly sorry, but because of his oaths and his guests, he did not want to break his word to her. And immediately the king sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison," verse 28, "and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl. And the girl gave it to her mother," verse 29. "When the disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb." So the first character that we're going to look at this morning in this cast of characters is Herod. This is Herod Antipas. Herod Antipas is the seventh son of Herod the Great. If you remember, in the Word of God, in Matthew chapter 2, Herod the Great is the guy who had male babies killed under the age of 2 as he was trying to kill Jesus. Herod the Great also murdered some of his sons in order to try and to protect the throne from them. Herod Antipas's father, Herod the Great, was an evil, evil man. There was a Jewish saying during this time that said this, "It is safer to be Herod's pig than Herod's son." This is the father of Herod Antipas, the character of this story, And we will see in this story that the apple did not fall far from the tree. So Herod Antipas, the character of this story, he stole Herodias, the female character of this story, to be his own. Now pay attention here. I'm going to give you guys a test later on. And if you get it the first time, I promise I'll be very, very surprised. Listen to this family tree. So Herod Antipas, he stole Herodias, the female character of this story, to be his own. Now, Herodias was the daughter of Herod Antipas's murdered brother, okay? And she was married to her uncle Philip, Herod Antipas's other brother. So Herodias was Herod Antipas's niece. Herodias and Philip, Herodias's original husband, they have a daughter together. And history tells us that her name is Salome, and she is the daughter in this story that we're going to look at this morning. Herod Antipas, the character of this story, he divorces his wife and steals his niece Herodias away from his brother Philip for himself. And you thought that your family was messed up. Crazy, crazy family tree. But here are some things that we can clearly see about the character, Herod Antipas, the character of this story. Number one is he was immoral. He steals his brother's wife, which is his niece, and he enters into an incestuous relationship with her. He allows his niece, Salome, to dance erotically before him, before all of his buddies at a birthday party, and Jesus calls this man a fox in Luke chapter 13. So he was immoral. He chose immorality over righteousness. In verse 20, it says, "For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly." So Herod heard John's message of repentance, and instead of taking his message of repentance to heart, he chose to keep going down the path that he was in, rejecting John's message of repentance, which was ultimately a rejection of Jesus Christ. So we see that he was immoral. We also see that Herod Antipas was superficial. He throws a birthday party for himself and invites, as the word says, the nobles, the military commanders, and the leading men of Galilee. These men are what you would know as the big shots, people of importance. He tries to impress them with his party. He tries to impress these big shots and Herodias and Salome by telling Salome that he will give her up to half his kingdom for dancing for them. But here is the deal we need to understand this morning, that Herod, he didn't have half a kingdom to give away. Now, Mark called him a king because this is what people of this day would have known him by, and he more than likely called himself a king. He more than likely gave himself this title, but Herod was actually a tetrarch. A tetrarch was a ruler of a fourth of an area. He was more than likely a mayor, and this position could have easily have been taken away from him. He was not a king and did not have half a kingdom to promise that he could give away. So this man was immoral. This man was very superficial. He was also a spineless coward. Instead of responding to John's message of repentance, John calling him out because of his sin, what does Herod do? He throws John in jail. Instead of taking a stand against Herodias' desire to kill John, he has the head of John the Baptist chopped off, it says in verse 26, in order to impress his guests. So we see that this man was immoral. We see that he was superficial. We see that he was spineless. The next character that we see in this cast of characters this morning is the character Herodias. Now, she was also immoral. She leaves her uncle, husband, whatever you want to call that, to seduce her other uncle. She allows her daughter to dance seductively before a bunch of men. She becomes bitter and holds a grudge because John the Baptist calls her out on her sin. Verse 19, it says, and Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death. Why? Because John was calling her out. John was calling her out on her sin. And her grudge turned into bitterness that led to murder. She was a murderer. So we see Herod, Antipas. We see Herodias. Next, we see the nobles and military commanders. Verse 21, it says, but an opportunity came when Herod on his birthday gave a banquet for his nobles and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. The word nobles here, it means great men, people of importance, people of power. And obviously these nobles, these great men, were just as spineless as Herod was. Each one of these men of importance would have had influence to sway Herod away from taking the life of John the Baptist. But they don't. They sit back and they allow a murder to take place of an innocent man. They watch all of this unfold. They watch all of this happen without saying a word. Next we see, in this cast of characters, we see Salome. Salome was Herodias' daughter. She dances erotically before Herod and his guests. Verse 22 says it, for when Herodias' daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And please understand, this was not square dancing. All right, this is not the chicken dance. Okay? This was some sort of an erotic dance, and she too will take part in the murder of John the Baptist. She tells Herod, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. Next, we see John the Baptist in this story. This is someone of integrity, a person who stood up for the truth and righteousness. This guy had guts. He was not afraid to call the sin out of a person who had the ability to kill him. Verse 18, it says, for John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. He had guts. This guy had the ability to take his life, and John was calling him out because of his sin. So in this story, we have Herod, Herodias, the nobles and military commanders, Salome, as history tells us that was her name, and John the Baptist. So here's a question that I want us to answer this morning. In what ways might we identify with these cast of characters this morning? How about Herod? How could we possibly identify with this man? He chose immorality over responding to John's call to righteousness. He chose sin over doing the right thing. What does immorality look like today? It's still going on. There's nothing new under the sun, as the Word of God tells us. Immorality today could look like this. The approval of same-sex marriage. The world says it's okay, but the Bible clearly calls it sin. Sex outside of the boundaries of marriage. Living together before marriage. The world says these things are okay, but it's not a reflection of the Word of God. Immorality today could also look like adultery. Lying and cheating to get ahead. The slander of someone else to make myself look better. Choosing the ways of the world instead of choosing the ways of God. Immorality. Herod was also superficial. What does superficiality look like today? It could look like this. Doing things to impress people, to get people to like you. That's what Herod was doing. Throwing these lavish birthday parties, inviting the nobles, the leading men of Galilee, trying to impress people. Superficiality could also look like not standing up for the truth and going along with the crowd. Superficiality could also look like living outside of my financial means in order to try and to convince people that I have money, to try and convince people that I have status. Superficiality could also look like trying to rub shoulders and to spend time with people of importance in order to be considered a part of the in crowd. He was immoral. He was superficial. He was also a spineless coward. He didn't have to go through with the murder of John the Baptist. He could have stood up for what was right, but he didn't in order to impress his guests. Being a spineless coward today could look like this: not standing up for righteousness when the world around you is going after sin. Following the crowd instead of following God. Not speaking up for the truth when someone is speaking against the word of God. Adrian Rogers says, "It is better to stand alone with the truth than to be wrong with a multitude." And ultimately, Herod's greatest failure was that he denied the person of Jesus Christ. He rejected Jesus Christ. And we'll come back to this in a moment. What about Herodias? How could we identify with her today? Of course, Herodias was just as immoral as Herod was. And instead of responding to John, calling her out, what does she do? She becomes bitter and holds a grudge against John the Baptist. This bitterness and this grudge eventually led to his murder. William Barclay writes, "She murdered John that she might sin in peace. She forgot that while she need no longer meet John, she still had to meet God." You see, whenever we do not respond to the Holy Spirit's conviction of sin, we could very easily end up like Herodias. Whenever we do not respond, when the Holy Spirit convicts us and we put that off, instead of responding to the conviction of sin, we could just as easily end up like this woman, bitter, holding grudges. And then if this sin is not dealt with, it will lead to more sin. So what sin have you been convicted of? Maybe recently, maybe in the past, that you've not dealt with. You see, Herodias was not willing to deal with her sin. John the Baptist was calling her out, and she becomes bitter. She holds a grudge. She kills the guy. What sin have you been convicted of that you've not dealt with, that you've not confessed, that you have not made right with God or someone else? Because like Herodias, if you do not deal with your sin, you'll become bitter. You'll become angry. You'll hold grudges. And ultimately, it will lead to the destruction of those who are around you. So what sin do you need to confess and deal with this morning? Herodias was not willing to deal with her sin. And it led to someone's murder. Are you willing to deal with your sin? What about the nobles and military commanders? These were people of importance. We'll call these people this morning right now the crowd. We'll just call these guys the crowd who are watching all of this go on. And these men, this crowd of people, they were just as spineless as Herod was. Think about it. They watch a teenage girl dance erotically before them without saying a thing. Each one of these men has the influence to stand up to Herod, to stop the murder of an innocent man. And they don't do a thing. They just save face. Instead of one of them standing up out of the crowd and saying, "Herod, this is sin, this is wrong, this is immoral," the crowd watches all of this go on. How about you? How about myself? Are you just going along with the crowd this morning when you have the power to stand up for what is right? To stand up for righteousness? To stand up for the truth? How can we go along with the crowd today? How can we go along with the crowd? Choosing to enter into ungodly talk when I'm with my friends? Choosing political correctness instead of choosing biblical correctness? Parents in this room, the world will tell you that worship is optional. The crowd will tell you that worshiping with your family is okay if you have nothing else going on. I read a quote recently and it went something like this. When you treat Jesus and his ways as optional, do not be surprised when your children treat Jesus as unnecessary. Are you going along with the crowd this morning? Or are you standing up for the righteousness of God? What about Salome, Herodias' daughter? You might think that she's the innocent teenager in this story, but listen, she is not. This biblical narrative could have gone so much different if Salome, this teenager, would have stood up for righteousness, if she would have chosen to do the right thing. She chose to dance erotically before these men. She chose to go along with the murder of John the Baptist, adding these words, "Kill him and put his head on a platter." She said those words. Teenagers in this room, young people in this room today, you have great influence. You can influence your family for the gospel. You can influence your friends for the gospel. You can influence the world for the gospel. Paul told Timothy, he said, "Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young." He says, "Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity." And this would have applied to Salome, Herodias' daughter. And even though you may be young, you can have great influence for the gospel when you stand up for what is right. What about John the Baptist? This man stood up for what was right, even though he knew that it was going to land him in jail. He was saying, "It's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." In other words, Herod, this is sin. Herod, this isn't right. Herod, this is against the law of God. Remember, it was John the Baptist who said, "He who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry." Mark 1, he says, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie." John the Baptist said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." You see, he was the cousin of Jesus, the last prophet before Jesus, sent to prepare the way for Jesus. John the Baptist knew who Jesus was. He loved Jesus, and he was not ashamed to stand up for Jesus. And listen, church family, this is what the world needs. This is what the world needs. People like John the Baptist. Christians who will stand up for Jesus like John the Baptist did. It's what our world needs. John wasn't afraid of what he might lose. And listen, we shouldn't be afraid of what we might lose either. Whenever we stand up for Christ, John standing up for righteousness and doing the right thing, it eventually cost him his life. And listen, you standing up for Christ in whatever you're doing in your home, in your social clubs, when you're around the lunch table, whatever you're doing, it might cost you a friend. It might cost you a social invitation. It might cause you to be a social outcast at work or in your neighborhood. But listen, this is what Christ followers do. They stand up for biblical truth when the world will not acknowledge Jesus Christ, when the world rejects Jesus and his ways. And this leads us to the last character in this story that we cannot overlook and that we cannot miss. That is the character, Jesus. And even though the story is not directly about him, it does point back to him. John the Baptist worshiped Jesus, but the rest of these characters in this story, they reject Jesus. Go back to verse 14 in chapter 6. It says, King Herod heard of it. Heard of what? The miracles of Jesus. For his name had become known. Some said John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. But others said, it's not Jesus, it's Elijah. And others said, he's like a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. You see, John or Herod attributed the work of Jesus to John the Baptist and him coming back to life after Herod had murdered him. Some are saying it's Elijah. Some are saying he's like one of the prophets from the Old Testament. You see, the unbelief in Jesus Christ continues. Unbelief in Jesus has happened up until this point. Remember last week we talked about how his hometown wouldn't accept him. They wouldn't even believe in him. The scribes and Pharisees would not believe in him. They even attributed the work of Jesus to Satan. And Herod eventually has a hand in the crucifixion of Jesus. Luke 23 tells us, when Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had long desired to see him because he had heard about him and he was hoping to see some sign done by him. So he questioned him at some length, but he made no answer. Jesus made no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. And Herod, with his soldiers, treated him with contempt and mocked him. Then arraying him in splendid clothing, he sent him back to Pilate. Verse 12, and Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that very day. For before this, they had been at enmity with each other. So Herod and Pilate were enemies. But they had one thing in common, that was the rejection of Jesus Christ, and they became friends over this. John the Baptist knew who Jesus was, and he died for standing up for his truth. Herod and his caste reject Jesus. And this is the application of this entire message this morning. And you answer this question to yourself this morning. Who do I say that Jesus is? Who do you say that Jesus is? Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to me? Listen, if Jesus Christ is just a nice person, just a biblical character to you, just a moral person, just a good teacher, just someone who can do cool magic tricks, someone with good stories, someone that you are indifferent to, and if he is not the Lord of your hearts, listen, then it will be no big deal for you to live like Herod, to live like Herodias, to live like the crowd, to live like Salome. But if Jesus is someone whose sandals you do not feel worthy to carry, someone who you follow, someone that you will live for, someone whose truth that you will stand for, if he to you is your Savior who has shown you grace, love, and mercy, your Savior who has forgiven all of your sin, then you will honor him. Even if it means losing your head. Who are you in this cast of characters this morning? You see, the biggest difference between John and the cast of characters in this story this morning is the person of Jesus Christ. One group rejects Jesus. One man gives his life for Jesus. How about you? Who is Jesus Christ to you? You see, if Jesus is nothing to you today, then the world is everything. If Jesus is everything to you today, then the world is nothing. In closing, listen to this quote about this passage of scripture from J.C. Ryle. He says, "Histories like these are meant to remind us that the true Christian's best things are yet to come. His rest, his crown, his wages, his reward are all on the other side of the grave. Here, in this world, he must walk by faith and not by sight. And if he looks for the praise of man, he will be disappointed. Here, in this life, he must sow and labor and fight and endure persecution. And if he expects a great earthly reward, he expects what he will not find. But this life is not at all. There is to be a day of retribution. There is a glorious harvest yet to come. Heaven will make amends for all. Eye has not seen and ear has not heard the glorious things that God has laid up for all that love him. The value of real religion is not to be measured by the things seen, but the things unseen. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us in a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Who is Jesus Christ to you? Would you pray with me? Would you answer that question this morning with your head bowed and your eyes closed? Who is Jesus Christ to you? I mean, really answer that question between you and God this morning. Is he just a biblical character, someone with good stories, someone that you can just go to anytime that you want something? Or is he your Savior? Is he your Lord? Do you echo with John the Baptist, "I don't even feel worthy to carry his sandals. He must increase, I must decrease." Is that who Jesus Christ is to you today? Because if Jesus Christ is not like that to you today, if he's just a genie in the bottle for you, someone that you are indifferent to, then listen, it will be no big deal for you to live a life like Herod, like Herodias, like these men that were there. Who is Jesus Christ to you this morning? Is he your Savior? Has he saved you from your sin? Has he rescued you from darkness? And if so, are you living a life that reflects what he has done for you? Is Jesus Christ your Savior? Has he saved you from your sin? The Bible says that all have sinned, that all have messed up. Listen, Jesus even died for Herod and Herodias and Salome. But they would reject Jesus. This morning, don't reject Jesus. Don't reject Jesus. Don't reject the only way to have your sin forgiven. The Bible says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This morning, don't reject him. You can call on him to save you from your sin. Call on him to save you. Who is Jesus Christ to you? Maybe you're in this place this morning and you've not been living a life that reflects that Jesus Christ is your Savior. Maybe this morning the Spirit of God has convicted you of something and you need to respond to that conviction. Herodias didn't. It led to bitterness. It led to a grudge. Are you willing this morning to respond to that? Listen, if the Spirit of God is convicting you of something this morning, please be reminded that that is a good thing. That's the Savior drawing you back to him, saying, "Come back home." If you're a prodigal that has been running from Jesus and he is convicting your heart this morning, that's a good thing. He's saying, "I want you to come back home to me." You can repent of your sin and you can come back home to him today. Jesus, we come before your throne this morning and we say thank you for this example that we see in this scripture of John the Baptist. Someone who was not ashamed to stand up for Christ. Someone who was not ashamed to stand up for the truth, even though it cost him his head, even though it cost him his life. And God, may we be a people that's like that, who's not ashamed to stand up for Jesus Christ, who's not ashamed to live out biblical truth, even though it might go against the ways of the world. God, we thank you for your grace and your love and your mercy, that if there's anybody in this room today, God, that just needs to be reminded of that, that maybe they've turned their back on you, they haven't responded to the conviction of sin, I just ask and pray, God, that you would help them to know, even right now in this moment, that your grace is enough for them and that they can come back home to you. Help us to come home. Help us to never reject Jesus. Help us to stand for him as John the Baptist did. We love you, God. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Church family, would you stand to your feet? Right now, we're going to sing a song of worship to God, and we're just going to cry out to him from our hearts. And if you're in this room this morning and you need prayer for something, there's some down here that would love to pray with you. Maybe you want to know what it means to follow Christ, what it means to be a follower of Jesus. We would love to help you answer that question this morning. Maybe this morning you've been convicted of something and you want to just come to this altar and you just want to pray, or you want to commit your life to God from this point forward. You do business with God right now. Maybe you want to join this church. Maybe you want to lock arms with us and be a part of what God is doing here. You come down and you tell us that, and we'll move forward in the process of that. Maybe you want to get baptized and you want to show the world that you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Come talk to me about that, and we'll move forward with that as well. But right now, you respond to God. You be obedient to God. You see, the characters in this story, Herodias didn't. Herod didn't respond. They rejected Jesus Christ. You respond to him. You don't reject him. Don't reject him as they did. You respond to God. You worship him right now as we sing.